Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Trap, Twister, and Twisters, for which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Trap, Twister, and Twisters.
I'd like to start off today by talking about the new movie from M. Night Shyamalan called Trap. Shyamalan makes movies which almost always deal with spooky subjects. They're horror movies, they're thrillers, they're supernatural films. One way or another, they always have a dark kind of an edge to them. I have found his career very uneven. And Trap itself is certainly not one of his best. I'll give that away right now. Shyamalan, just a little bit about him. He really is sort of an interesting figure on the film scene. He burst onto the scene. It was not his first film, but way back in 1999 when he made The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis and others. And it's just a really interesting movie with a very unusual premise. If people are not familiar with it, they really might want to check it out. As more or less horror movies go, it's pretty mild. And it has a premise which would sound like it would be very, very difficult to pull off, but he actually does pull it off pretty well. There's a huge surprise twist very, very late in the film, which really is quite remarkable. I didn't find the film all that gripping the first time I saw it, but I saw it with a huge audience, and I noticed that during most of the film, that audience was absolutely rapt with attention. Silence, really close attention, and I knew this movie would be a big hit, and I was right. So The Sixth Sense was maybe in some ways still his best and most successful movie. After that, up and down films, I've discovered for myself that sometimes the second time I see a Shyamalan movie, I think it's a lot better than the first time. His movie Signs from the early 2000s was a film that struck me as laughable the first time I saw it. It stars Mel Gibson and others. And then I saw it again because I was writing something about Shyamalan, and it was really a lot better. The same thing goes for The Village. On the other hand, I think I could see The Last Airbender any number of times and not think it was any good. So he's a very uneven filmmaker, in my opinion. So this new movie called Trap. Well, one thing about it is that it stars, among others, his daughter, Salika Shyamalan. And I will say that Shyamalan is developing a real cinematic family. He has another daughter who makes films. So, really artistic folks. In this case, Salika Shyamalan plays a pop singer who has a huge, gigantic stage act, and a lot of the movie takes place in the audience for that stage act, although all kinds of things are happening besides her singing and dancing and whatnot. So the other star is Josh Hartnett. So what we have here is Josh Hartnett has taken his young daughter, his teenage daughter, to this concert as a great treat. She loves the singer who Salika Shyamalan is playing. She loves her. She adores her. She screams with delight when she comes on the stage and all of that. However, as we get a little bit farther into the movie, we realize that the father, Josh Hartnett, has other things on his mind. For one thing, he sneaks into a men's room at one point, and he takes out his cell phone, and he looks at an image on it, and he appears to have somebody, some poor, helpless man trapped in a dungeon somewhere. And as soon as our main character, Cooper, his name is, has determined that, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be, then he goes back to the concert with his young daughter. So something's going on here. We eventually, and this is not a real spoiler here, find out that, yes, Josh Hartnett's character, Cooper, is actually a serial killer known as the Butcher. Not a very original name, in my opinion, for a serial killer. And what he does is he kidnaps people and he holds them for a while, and then he horribly murders them and cuts them up into pieces, and that's, we find out that stuff about him. In the meanwhile, here he is at this rock concert with his young daughter, and he really is really interested in keeping his young daughter all happy and pleased, and he clearly, from all appearances, is just a wonderful dad who wants nothing more than to give his young daughter a good time and have a good time along with her. But he has to keep sneaking off because now something else is going on, which is that this gigantic arena where this concert is taking place is suddenly surrounded by cops, police officers, heavily armed police officers. So maybe they know that the butcher is in there somewhere. We then find out that, yes, they do know that the butcher is in there somewhere, and that is why all of these police officers are there. So our main character, the butcher, Cooper, now has got to keep his young daughter happy, prevent her from finding out that all this has to do with him, and evade all of those cops who are all over the place. So that's basically what the plot of this movie is. One interesting thing about the movie is that the places where it takes place keep changing, so that much of the film, we're in this gigantic arena during this gigantic spectacular concert, but then eventually we get into the home of the butcher, which is just a house, and for a while we're actually just in a car with maybe the butcher and a couple of other people. So the sphere of action keeps getting narrower and narrower, and Shyamalan does a reasonably good job of directing all this. Problems with Trap. One big problem is that it's not very well acted, in my opinion. Saleika Shyamalan is very nice-looking woman, and she sings well and all that, but I think her acting is really quite bad when she gets to do some of that. Josh Hartnett, I found much too oily and just always just smiling and happy and friendly with his daughter and all that, and just too much. He kind of came out as much too over-eager a dad, in my opinion. I just didn't believe him after a while. Some interesting people in minor roles. Haley Mills, there's a voice from the past, plays a profiler who was involved in the action a little bit. Allison Pill plays Cooper's wife, who we eventually get to meet a bit. So that's kind of interesting. And of course, Shyamalan always does a cameo in one of his movies, and he's in this film playing a spotter in the rock concert auditorium. But the big problem, aside from some of the acting with Trap, is that it has coincidences and things that just shouldn't be happening. Every time Cooper, the butcher, needs to do something shady, if he has to steal an ID card from somebody to get through a particular entrance, or if he needs to steal a walkie-talkie so he can find out what the police are doing, he just snatches it, and nobody sees him, and nobody catches him. At one point, he really needs some information, and so he starts chatting up a young man who works in the concessions selling T-shirts, and the young man just tells him everything that he needs to know. It's just too easy, too smooth, and I didn't believe it for a second. So for a movie that's supposed to keep you guessing, for a movie that's supposed to be full of suspense, I found Trap just to be mainly just tricky. I felt after a while a little bit trapped. It's not a bad movie to look at. It's nicely photographed and all of that. But my gosh, I just didn't really believe the action in it. It was just too easy, too smooth. Just like the main character is too easy, too smooth. So Trap, if you really like Shyamalan movies, then of course check it out. Otherwise, you can forget this one. Don't get trapped. Now I'd like to go back to the past to talk about a movie from the 90s, from 1996, Twister, and then talk about the new sequel. All these years later, almost 20 years later, Twister has finally acquired a sequel, and I thought I'd talk about them both. Since Twister is easily available streaming, you can catch up with it anytime you want, and it's really not a bad movie as this sort of thing goes. So Twister comes, and this is the original Twister, I'm not talking about the sequel yet, was directed by Jan DuPont. His only previous film was a movie called Speed, a very interesting movie, which is about a young police officer on a bus that has to be kept going more than 50 miles an hour in a city or else a bomb will go off. Yeah, good, hard thing to pull off, and DuPont does a good job of that. So Twister is another movie from that same era. It was his second major film, and it is what used to be called, and probably still is, a disaster movie. Now, the middle 1990s, when Twister was made, was a good period for disaster movies. You had movies like Independence Day and Deep Impact and Armageddon. Before that, you had had disaster movies back in the 70s, another golden age, when you had movies like Earthquake and The Towering Inferno and The Poseidon Adventure. And we still have disaster movies from time to time. The movies, A Quiet Place and the sequels are pretty much disaster movies too. So they still come along. But Twister was one of the big ones from a period when they were very popular. And Twister is, yes, about tornadoes. And it basically is about two teams of what are called tornado chasers or storm chasers. And what they do is they follow twisters around whenever they know there's a tornado going on. They're in Oklahoma. They race off to see it and to study it. They're basically scientists. And there are two rival teams that are both trying to get to the tornadoes sooner, and which one is going to do better, and is it going to be the team that relies more on pure scientific evidence, or is it going to be the team that relies more on hunches and just the feel of things and just knowing the territory really well? And also, one of the teams has invented a new device for studying tornadoes, which is supposed to send off lots of little tiny devices into the tornado, and is that going to work, and what's going to happen here? And oh, there's all kinds of special effects in Twister, and they're really good. The first famous screen tornado was, of course, in The Wizard of Oz, where the MGM special effects department did it by simply twirling around a stocking and photographing it in all the right ways. And it's really quite convincing and quite wonderful. By the time you get into the middle 90s, you have all kinds of high-tech ways of creating Twisters, tornadoes, and Twister does a pretty good job of it. It's also got a good cast. Helen Hunt is quite good in it. Bill Paxton is very good in it. Lois Smith. My gosh, it's a fairly early movie for Philip Seymour Hoffman, a very, very great star. He has a pretty small role in the movie, but it's a pleasure to see the late Philip Seymour Hoffman doing a very nice job way back in the middle of the 90s. So it's a good movie, and it's a fun movie, and if you like disaster movies, it has a certain air of nostalgia to it. So now for the sequel. Again, almost 20 years later, finally there's a sequel directed by Lee Isaac Chung. And it is once again about tornadoes. And once again, we have two different teams of researchers who are chasing the tornadoes, trying to get right up close to them, risking their lives and all of that. This time it's a little bit different, though. This time one of the teams is led by a very, very upright young scientific woman played by Daisy Edgar-Jones very, very nicely. And she's a really serious scientist, and she too has a new device, which she wants to test out. In her case, it's a device that might be able to actually calm down a tornado. The other team, however, is led by a real showboat, played by Glenn Powell. He is a YouTuber, and he seems to be interested in self-promotion above all else. He wants to be there on the screen. He wants to talk like a real tough and friendly guy to his audience and get all those views and all that stuff. He seems to be much more interested in that than he is in the actual Twisters. So, of course, a rivalry very much exists between these two different teams with their different motivations and their different ways of going about things. In this case, however, the two teams do get together well before the end of the movie. And yes, 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 it's pretty clear that the two main characters, the heads of the two teams, who happen to be a female and a male, are going to end up together as well. But through most of the movie, or a good part of the movie, they are rivals, and they are all running around, chasing around, and trying to get close to the tornadoes. And again, nowadays we have all the CGI, the computer-generated imagery, so the special effects are really convincing, and there's gorgeous cinematography of, again, Oklahoma. And anyway, it's a pretty spectacular movie to look at in various ways. The acting is really not bad. I found Glenn Powell to be a bit over the top near the beginning with his in-your-face YouTube popularity shtick. But as the movie goes on, he becomes a little bit more of a fully developed human being. And Daisy Edgar-Jones is just delightful to look at. She's really good. She acts pretty well, and she's a really attractive screen personality. And I thought that she did a pretty good job of making the character into somebody real. But again, this is a disaster movie, and in its way, very much about the special effects. It also has a kind of a humane edge to it, which I liked a lot. There really is some concern with helping the towns and the people and the homes that have been hit and destroyed by these tornadoes, because that's also very much going on here. At one point, the question arises, are we going to keep chasing this tornado and gathering our scientific data and trying out our experiments and all that? Or are we going to pause and stop and just stay here and help the poor people who have been dead devastated by this tornado. And there's not a whole lot of material, but there is some material showing the real devastation which is wrought by these things. And we also realize, this is brought out by the film, that the aim of this research at its heart is to find ways of predicting tornadoes better and maybe even doing something about them so that these human tragedies would not take place. And one of the things that's come up in some of the reviews of Twister is praise for that aspect of the movie. It's not only a disaster movie, it's not only a special effects movie, it's also a movie about the real human cost of extreme weather events, as they're now sometimes called. So in that way, it's a movie that actually has a little tiny bit of substance to it. So I had a good time watching Twisters. I also had a good time going back and watching Twister again. They're both really not bad movies within their genre. As we used to say, sometimes they're good of their kind. And Twisters is a worthy sequel. I'm surprised that it took so long for it to come along. But now that it is here, people who want to see this kind of movie with a lot of action, a lot of fast driving around, a lot of going through the plains, and a whole lot of twisting, windy, rainy, stormy tornado activity will have a good time at Twisters. So certainly not a great movie, but a movie that I really enjoyed watching. And if you're into special effects, you'll see some pretty special ones here. So that is my somewhat twisting story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Trap, Twister, and Twisters.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.